You're listening to the High Point Church Podcast.
It's good to be in community. It's good to be under authority. I'm a man under authority, a pastor who has pastors, and Darren and Pastor Rob have been my pastor for many, many years, and so love it. It's just fun. It's fun to have them in the house. It's fun to be proud. We were walking them around, proud of your work and energy and effort. I'm proud of you guys. You look good every week, and it's just fun to show you off a little bit to some VIPs, you know what I'm saying? So thanks for just being awesome. We're in this Rest of God series, and I hope you're enjoying the book as much as I am. Mark Buchanan wrote this book a number of years ago. We've got a few copies left. And my wife and I went through this a number of years ago in a season where our life was a little bit out of control, and we were trying to figure out how to get more peace and rest and a little bit more settled in our heart and in our spirit. How many of you, let's just take a minute. And let me just assess where you're at today, because I think I have a good feel, but you just help me. If you would say, if I could just have one more hour in the day, so if I could move from a 24-hour day to a 25-hour day, that would really help. If you could just, if that's you, yeah, a bunch of you. How many of you, if you could move from like a 7-day week to an 8-day week, you're like, man, one more day, that I would love just to have one more day. That would just set things at ease. Here's what I've found. Here's what I've realized. And I realized this because we've moved several houses in our life. We've been from apartments and small two-bedroom things to bigger houses to the house we're in now. And here's what I've realized. Every time I move, I think we've got plenty of space. We've got extra cupboards. Have you ever noticed this? And then you realize, like 6 months in, they're full of stuff. And we find that same with our house, same with our cupboards, same with our time in our life. We tend to fill every minute, every hour, every day. And I think it's interesting because I think we might want one more hour thinking that'll be our hour of rest. That will recharge our soul. We might want one more day thinking that eighth day, that is going to be my day. But God in His grace and His mercy didn't see it that way. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He worked for 6 days. He worked hard, and on the seventh day, He didn't go, I got a few more to-dos. You know what? I'll work today, and tomorrow I'll take off. No, God, in His grace and mercy, said, I will stop what is urgent and necessary, and I will rest. And then, in the Bible, God laid out 10 commandments, 10 rules, 10 things that if you look, New Testament, Old Testament, if you process the meta-narrative, the large grand scheme of God, you'll find that these 10 rules really are the essence of the Bible. There are 10 things that God says, if you just do these 10, you're going to live a blessed life. You're going to live in order. You're going to live blessed and refreshed. And you're going to find that when you don't murder somebody, I mean, no, that's just a good idea. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Not sleeping with somebody other than your wife, that's just wise. Not lying, that will get you far in life if you just don't lie to people. Having no other God before God, that's good. That's just healthy, a good way of being. And then in these Ten Commandments, God put a command called Sabbath. He placed them within the 10 rules, the 10 guiding, the 10 things that He wanted us to do. And He said, of these 10 things, here is the Sabbath law. Honor the Lord by observing the Sabbath. But what's interesting, if you look at these, and there's 2 passages. There's a passage in Exodus. There's a passage in Deuteronomy. Both of them lay out the Ten Commandments almost identical. But in the Sabbath text, one, God uses more words to describe Sabbath living than He does any of the other Ten Commandments, almost than any other Ten Commandments combined. Now, God doesn't waste words. He doesn't just talk because He likes to hear His own voice. God places words in Scripture for very specific reasons. So when you read something in Scripture, it's not by chance or accident, or it's not just some waste of space. God didn't get paid for the word. You know what I mean? It's there for a reason. And so there's more words talking about Sabbath than any other commandments, which is interesting. And there's two spots that talk about them. And they're almost identical, except they vary in the perspective with which they talk about the Sabbath. This is interesting. And this is what we're going to talk about today. The first one I'm going to read for you is a powerful thing. And before I jump into this, I was thinking about my questions earlier. How many of you would like one more day or one more hour? Last Wednesday night in our J term, we had a great conversation. And one of the ladies at our table, she said, when talked about Sabbath, she said, I don't know how to rest, but I sure am tired. And I think that that is where America is at today. We don't really know how to rest. We know how to vacate. We know how to leisure. We know how to just do those kind of things. But we don't know how to live rested, but we sure are tired. A third of American is sleep deprived, getting less than 6 hours a day. 85% of males, 66% of females work more than 40 hours a week. And Americans, and this is interesting, work 137 more hours per year than Japanese workers, 260 more hours per year than British workers, and 499 more hours per year than your French workers. No wonder their economy is so bad. No, I'm just... Remember the Sabbath. In Exodus 20, it says this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Powerful. I mean, just amazing, amazing picture here. Now here's something you have to understand about this picture. This is a picture of God before the fall of man. And we have in this picture, so he creates the earth and all that's in it is only 6 days old at this point. So man has not produced anything. Man hasn't done anything. He's just been created. How many of you know your first day of work, you didn't do that much, you know? You like figured where the bathroom and the lunchroom was. That's man, day one. He got that figured out. We're really glad about it. And God, in his infinite love and mercy, gives us this picture of working. What do we see God do? See, this is a picture of imitation. This is an illustration of how we are to live. He spends 6 days creating, working, toiling, God shaping, breathing, speaking, longing, playing in the dirt to make man. You see his creative masterstroke in sunset and in stars in the sky. You see his creative wonderment in duck-billed platypuses and long reticulating giraffes. And you see all sorts of beauty and wonderment in God's creation. Therefore, we were made to create. You were made to go into the office and to solve problems. You were made to go into a nursing situation and heal people through understanding what their ailment is and how you can administer treatments in proper ways. You were given great gifts of creativity to budget and to manage and to administrate. You were given incredible gifts and abilities to build things with your hands and to create buildings and to design and to parent and to be good friends and to be honorable people. And then, just as God taught us how to work by creation, he taught us how to rest by stopping in Sabbath. And this is interesting. This is fascinating. Because God, it says, he stopped. All the work of creation was done, but it doesn't say that all of God's work was done. I'm sure there was much more on God's to-do list than just he did in those 6 days. I'm sure he got to day six and it was just like, man, I've got the angel thing over here, over by the Milky Way. I've got, you know, I'm sure there was more on his mind, but he stopped. Why did he stop? Why did he do this? He didn't have to. He's God. He can do anything. Yes, God can lift a rock that's too heavy for him. I mean, he can do anything. Why did he rest? Why did he stop? We have a 3.5-year-old. And Lewis is a joy. He's a riot. He's full of energy. He's funny. He just says the funniest things right now. But Lewis, between 5 and 8 o'clock, and his bedtime's like 7:30, but between 5 and 8 o'clock, sometimes 8:30, he gets like charged, super hyper, like ding, 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 Tigger kind of hyper. Off the walls, just loves to pester his sister and just drive her bananas. He's just, you know, runs around without a shirt on and barefoot and just like, ah! And you're like, just shh. Grandpa was discovering this last night, you know, just like, he's like, here, take your kid, you know. And we discovered in all of my son's energy and just enthusiasm at that bewitching hour time frame, you know, just we've had to discover new ways of calming him and getting him to rest, because otherwise he won't. He'll just sing and shout and mommy, you know, and call us like at 9:30. We're like, shh, Downton Abbey's on, you know, and so here we are, we're trying to figure this out. My wife is amazing. She's like the Pied Piper for kids. I mean, she just works at it, and really, she's great she's an incredible mother. And what she did a couple months ago is she decided, instead of kind of being hard or trying to scold him into lying down, because that doesn't work for anybody, you know, be quiet. Let's coax him in a different way. Let's approach it from a different way. So what she did is one night he was bouncing off the walls, you know, throwing his animals across the room and all this kind of stuff. She crawled into bed with him. She closed her eyes, and he was like playing with her face. And she starts rubbing his chest. She started singing. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it has always been, will always be you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. And he began to quietly just kind of calm. And it took a number of nights, it took a number of weeks, and slowly she began to see him kind of begin to imitate, begin to close his eyes. Jesus, be center of my wife. I was like, dude, you're singing my lyrics, you know? But he began to calm himself. And my wife, through practicing the art of lying down and resting, taught him how he can soothe himself. And lately, it's been a lot better than it has been. That is the picture of Genesis. Work, 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 create, 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 create. Stop. Not because I have to, but because in God's infinite wisdom, he knew that we needed a model, that through imitation we would discover that we could create and we could stop and rest. And God didn't stop for his benefit. He stopped for ours. That should blow your mind. That God got down in the covers of the Garden of Eden and slowed life down so that Adam and Eve would stop. And he invites that for us. And that's the first picture. It's imitation, it's creation, it's rest. But the second picture, equally important, but a different lens, is powerful. It says this: observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Okay, so this sounds almost identical. So same thing, yep. On it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or your female servants, nor your in-laws, nor your ox or your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves. Oh, here's the difference. Remember, now we're out of creation in Genesis, and we're into Exodus. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. We have two pictures, one of creation and imitation, the other of liberation and exodus. This is beautiful, powerful stuff here. He says, remember you were slaves. Now, I prefer to forget my slavery. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would just block that out. I had a bad experience. We don't go there. A number of years ago, I went to Israel. And while in Israel, we went to a Holocaust museum. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Holocaust museum, maybe the one in Washington, D.C. Or somewhere else. But Holocaust museums are anything but fun. What they do typically is they give you a little card with a picture on it. And that story is who you follow all the way through the museum. And then at the end, you figure out or you find out if the person lived or died. That's not fun. And so you go through, and I remember as a teenager going through this Holocaust museum, and it was the first time I'd ever really been in an environment like this because it was solemn, it was quiet. And you saw the pictures of half-naked and fully naked skeletons with skin on them in giant graves. I remember one room I went into, and it was just this pile, this pyramid of shoes, and another of hair, and another of eyeglasses. And another of gold teeth. And there was something about it that just was moving. I mean, tears. You saw people with looking up their relatives' names and trying to figure out who they were and what they were. And we don't remember because it's a joyous occasion. We don't remember the Holocaust because it's happy. We remember it, we build museums about it, we tour them, we put ourselves through almost the torture of experiencing them so that we will not go there again. And so in this passage, God says, remember your slavery, remember the taskmaster, remember the wounds on your back, the whippings, the beatings. Remember what it was like to work 7 days with no day off. Remember what it was like to be oppressed, to have your children taken from you and killed, to have your families starved out because you were too productive, to work and clean and toil and struggle and fight and lose your social identity. Remember what that was like. Because I never want you to go back to that again. Now, I don't think any of you had experienced something quite like that. I don't think any of you have been in slavery to that degree. I mean, maybe we can, I'd love to have a conversation about you later. I don't know if any of you have worked in an environment or been in that kind of environment, that indentured servant kind of environment. I'm pretty sure that's not the case. But I think we understand quite well what it is to have taskmasters. People whose voice demands more, calls for more, cries out for more, will not let us rest, whips us with their words, threatens us with our job, pours us and calls us to do things that we don't want to do, at times we don't want to do them. This demanding. And for some of us, it's work. We literally have a boss who just calls us at odd hours of the night. We are there, you know, he emails at all sorts of times and expects responses. And you just feel this pressure. I've got to work all day, and at some point I got to check in at night just to clear out some emails so that he knows that I'm engaged. And this taskmaster. Some of us, we have this family dynamic where a family member, a mother-in-law, a father, a mother, a spouse, a friend, somebody in the social dynamic, we just feel like we can't get away. We just feel like they're constantly hounding us, bothering us, calling us, demanding from us, draining us. Some of us, it's our kids, and you're like, no, not my precious one. It's our kids, and you know, like you have this newborn baby, and it's like, I feel like I just am so sleep deprived, and will we ever rest? And I love you, but I just feel like I'm in the food court, and just help me, you know? It'll pass. It's just a season. Some of us, it's as they get older, and we just feel like our schedule's not our own. We run from place to place, from soccer game to soccer game, from sport to sport. I didn't understand that first graders got homework. I was like, what is this? My daughter came home from first grade. She had a bunch of homework. I'm like, now I have homework. I thought I was done with this.
apparently it's just starting over again. It's like a Twilight Greyhound dog day.
And so we find ourselves just in this taskmaster thing. We find ourselves where we think of the voices of our past, and we think of a coach or a dad or somebody from our past who that voice rings in our ear. Get up, you're lazy. Go work. It's not done till it's done. You'll sleep when you're dead.
Well, the devil doesn't sleep, does he?
And we just feel this voice from our past comes at us, and the moment we want to rest or we want to lay down or we want to take a day, it's like, oh, I got stuff to do, the laundry, the errands, the to-do. Oh, I just, that door that keeps creaking every night when the wind blows that I didn't take care of in the spring, it's still there. And so we multitask. We're like watching our show while we're checking our email or while we're doing this or that. And it just keeps going and perpetuating. And so I was talking to a guy the other day about phones, and he said, I like this phone so I can multitask, so I can watch this and text this and do this. And you're just like, your mind will explode. That thing's going to fry popcorn in a minute. Just stop. Just stop. We fight this, and we hear these voices. Maybe it's the Fitbit bracelet you got for Christmas, you know, and you're just like constantly checking for the lights. You're like, have I got my 10,000 steps, 15,000? When am I going to stop? And it just feels like, Elizabeth was telling me as we were talking about this, she said, sometimes when things are really stressed, I feel like people are chasing me in my sleep. And like their names, it's just off the to-do list, just transfers to my sleep. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, she's been chasing me. So please stop chasing my wife, you know. That's my job, you know. And we have this thing. But let me just, I have good news. I have great, great news. You were bought with a price. Jesus went to the cross for your sins and to redeem you. He was Lord of the Sabbath. He was the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He calls us not to work, not to be, not to more, not to over-exceed. He calls us to create, sure, but he calls us to rest. He calls us out of being somebody else's task, or out of being somebody else's slave, or out of being somebody else's servant, into service of the Good Shepherd, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is not demonstrative. He's not evil. He doesn't whip you when you're down. He doesn't fight you. He doesn't call you names. He doesn't belittle you. He doesn't demand more than he created you for. And when we serve him and fulfill him, we find that there is joy in our service, not weariness. That there is liberation in our work, not downtrodden and discouragement. We find that there is a lightness because he's in it with us. And there's a rhythm that he invites us to. We're not slaves anymore. We're servants of the King. I have a friend who his family is pretty well off, or actually his wife's family. His wife's family, his dad started this company in their garage. It grew. They're very wealthy, not just like a little wealthy. They're very wealthy. And every Christmas, they'd get a gift. They'd get cash. They'd get a check, something. And it was sizable. My friend was talking to me. He was saying, you know, I just feel a little uncomfortable because I need to be a self-made man. I mean, I just need to know that I can handle it, and I just don't know that my father-in-law sees that, and he gives me this gift, and I just feel a little uncomfortable. And some of you are like, who is your friend? What's wrong with him? I'm not uncomfortable with that. And so I said, well, why don't you talk to him? Just have a conversation. So he did, respectfully. He said, you know, Dad, I thank you for this, but I just am concerned that I want to be a self-made man. I want to be able to do it on my own. I mean, we could use it, but that's not the point. And his dad stopped him. His father-in-law stopped him. He said, my daughter is your wife, so you are my son. I've worked my life's work to produce this company. And now that I have means, it is a joy of mine to supply needs to you that I never got met. It is fun for me to spend my life's energy in the form of a check and give that to you as a blessing. And it actually kind of hurts my heart that you might reject my gift. See, our God, before we went into sin, gave us a gift of rest. He said, work, create, be awesome, do your potential, and rest. And here's something else. Sabbath is not earned. It's not the ice cream after a long, hard day's work in the yard. It's not the vacation that you get just so because you work so hard, or the comp day because you've been traveling. Hey, Sabbath is not some extra, some just like good, great job. Here's a Sabbath. You deserve it. See, on the contrary, we don't deserve Sabbath. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. It's a free gift from a loving God who invites us to rest, to joy, to peace, because of the work of His hand, because He did the work for us. See, we don't have a taskmaster that abuses or that whips us into submission. We have a good shepherd. Scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." If you're honest with me, how many would want that? Are thirsty for that? Long for that? How does He make us lie down? He lives it out. How does He restore our soul? He says, you know what? Out of the rest and rhythm of rest, there's joy. It's restoring. My wife and I, we find that when we're going through stressful seasons, we kind of pick at each other. Just, we do. I don't know if you're similar. It's okay if you're not. But when we're going through seasons of rest and we become more playful, we have more fun in our house. Our kids have more fun in our house because we're rested. Makes everything better. When you are living in proper order and when you're receiving the gift of Sabbath instead of forsaking the gift, because when we don't Sabbath, we push the gift aside and we say, God, I don't want it. I know you give it and it's yours and it's free and it costs you greatly, but I don't want it. But when we receive the gift of Sabbath, the fruit is rest. The fruit is joy. The fruit is peace and love. Gentleness and kindness, self-control. That's part of what comes out of rest in the Sabbath. And so now, as we close, this isn't something where I'm going to just pray a general prayer and go, and now you've Sabbathed. Go. It's not that easy. There's work involved. There's analyzation. You need to go, Lord, who's my taskmaster? I've been asking myself that the last few months. Where are my taskmasters? Who are my taskmasters? Sometimes I hear my own voice coming back. I'm my worst taskmaster. And we need to pray that the Lord would silence our taskmasters and give us wisdom on how to silence that. Maybe you need strength to go into your boss and to say, you know what, I need to reevaluate the terms. I can't, this is what's going on. This is not working for me. Or, you know what, my schedule, I've been traveling too much. This isn't going to work. How can we rework this in the system? It's okay. Maybe some of you need to go, you know what, I need to quit. And you need to have the faith and boldness to say, you know what, I believe and I trust that as I follow the Lord's leading, He'll supply something along the other way. Or maybe it's just something where you need to have some conversations. Maybe you need to go see a counselor and process some of the internal taskmasters. Maybe it's the voice of your past you just need to deal with in the context of a healthy counselor's conversation. And then the second thing is, who's my taskmaster? How can I make the Sabbath holy? What do we do? Because it's not just football all day. There's something more to it. We've got to keep it holy. So what is that? How do we do that? What does that look like? How do I incorporate times with the Lord? How do I incorporate times of restoration in His presence? And as we ask the Lord those two questions, He'll reveal rest. He'll reveal truth. He'll speak to us. And we will find that we can honor Him in the Sabbath. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing this song one more time. And I just want you to search your heart as we sing. Just give yourself over to Him. He is our good shepherd. He invites us to imitate Him. Lord, we surrender our lives. We surrender our work. We surrender our toil, our trouble. We surrender our weariness. Lord, I pray that You would make us good at resting. Not just leisure, not just vacating, but resting. And Lord, may we live out of that well of restfulness. Father, take us, use us, spend us as You will, and teach us how to rest.